Says the
Welcome in to another edition of the Tapping the Keg Podcast,
episode.
543. Charlie here with you. Mitch on the other side of the Zoom. We're talking Milwaukee Brewers preview. We're going to talk about the Marquette Golden Eagles in the Sweet 16, why I'm weirdly nervous, and of course, some Marquette Wisconsin discourse. And then lastly, talk about the Bucks, Pat Bev. Injury impact. We're also going to discuss first round opponents, and I'm sure a lot more. Mitch, I'm switching it up on you. You've told me, I've heard feedback that you know, when I ask you how you're doing, you're like, yeah, it's the same every day. So I'm gonna ask you differently. What do
It
you,
is.
what's the Wisconsin vibes right now? What are, how are we feeling just overall? Like, it could be just weather wise, it could be sports wise, it could be just anything else under the sun.
I mean, I'm still kind of pissed about the Laker game, Laker loss last night. I feel like you're just playing. It was just a nightmare on repeat, trying to sleep last night. It just was like, I mean, I'm obviously being dramatic, but at the same time, it's like, God, if you just hit one of those fucking shots and that you always make, or at a much better clip, and you get something from somebody
I
down the stretch, it's you're probably not doing cartwheels, but a win is a win,
right.
and really, it is one of 70, or excuse me, game that was game number 72, as friend of the pod Murph, who is also a LeBron fan, conveniently was had moved on 30 seconds after the game. But I couldn't do it, and I
No.
hate losing the Lakers, and it's just one of those marquee games, and whether LeBron played or not doesn't really, I'm not gonna cry about it like half the world does. I mean, it's still a good game. Obviously, we were treated to a fabulous NBA game, and for that I'm appreciative. I just wish that our team came out on the other end, and we'll regroup and move forward though.
Yeah, I think the only, my only like thing, and we can talk about this when we get to the Bucks, but my only thing is like, okay, now you have tired legs against New Orleans. And New Orleans, they did play a slobber knocker against Oklahoma City, and they had their own comeback, and they tried to come back, and they fell short against the Thunder. But, and the Bucks do match up really well with the Thunder, or I'm sorry, with the Pelicans. They do with the Thunder too, because their Zion can't do shit against Brook and Giannis. And so, but I do wonder, like, these legs are going to be pretty dang tired for that game on Thursday. And that was, I think, part of it. I think, and I know some people are like, oh, you can't blame the refs, you can't blame the refs, but my God, it was so blatant last night. Three fouls in the last 32 minutes for the Lakers, and one of them was intentional. Anthony Davis only having one foul in 52 minutes, like, come on. Like, I'm sorry, like, I can't just not bitch about that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just it's too blatant. You know what I mean?
Well,
And that's where I have a problem. Like, you know, Simmons joked, you know, is Iowa women's basketball the Lakers of college? And I don't, you know, it's about to lie. I don't know.
Isn't there a stat about how, like, over the last few years the Lakers have been called, like, have gotten the shot the most free throws or something by like a huge margin, or it's just so
It's hell, man. It's hell. But yeah, I agree. I think the vibes is, that's a lot. There's
they
some
had their
frustration.
chances though. I mean, they had their
Oh,
fucking
totally. Oh,
chances,
yeah.
and
Again, when I did the review, when I talked about it on the pod yesterday, the officiating was the last thing I talked about. Like, I definitely made it a point to, like, talk about how dumb this game was, how many dumb things happened. I did steal your line because I think you tweeted that out. Like, I stole that sort of from you, because I was like, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, one more shot and it goes. And then there was too much ISO. They acknowledged that after the game. I don't know if they were, you know, if there was some discussion, coaches or players, like, yeah, we want to see how Chris closes a little bit more often and whatnot. Who knows? Right. But yeah, you move
And
on.
he's been good, so since he came back. So I mean, I'm not freaking out really, but
And then the other, you know, the only other vibes are, you know, it should be the start of the baseball season today, but because we have to play in fucking New York, it's postponed until Friday. It's kind of nice. Good Friday. Some people get off for it in the afternoon, so you might have off to watch the game. It's not necessarily a day where you should be consuming a lot of beverages. It's a solemn day in the what pagan calendar. That said, if you do partake, yeah, it would be a great afternoon for dogs and beers, because that's going to be Friday afternoon now, where it's been pushing back for Brewers Mets. And that's where we'll start with the Milwaukee Brewers, as this season is not off to the best start. It seems like everybody's getting hurt. They just announced, I don't know, a couple hours ago, that Robert Gasser has bone spurs in his elbow. You had Garrett Mitchell now out 6 to 8 weeks. Pat Murphy is far more transparent than Craig Counsell. He just tells the media, like, yeah, he's out for 1 to 2 months. Like, he doesn't d dick around it. And then it's like a tweet, 15 hours later. It's literally Pat Murphy telling you, like, here's what's going on. So I would say, while it's exciting the Brewers are back, it's a little dour because of just all these injuries to kind of kick off the year.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. I mean, the Brewers have, I don't know, don't have the greatest margin for error
Right.
talent-wise.
Yes.
And then now you have, I mean, Woody is obviously a
Right.
bonus to even be on the roster this year, I think. And he's not going to be around. Nobody's expecting that. So, but I think it's, he is on the roster, and obviously it'd be great to have him, but that ain't happening. And Devin Williams being out, we had that break, what, that's been 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
So I think, kind of forgot about that now. And then the Garrett Mitchell stuff. I think bullpen wise, you can probably absorb a Devin Williams
Yep.
a little bit. And outfield is a position of strength for the Brewers. So, and we're used to Garrett Mitchell being hurt by now.
Yeah,
So,
Garrett Mitchell, I'll tell you what. I mean, we talked a little bit this offseason, like, hey, do you move a guy for Trio? Do you think about it? And, I wonder, is there a little bit of buyer's remorse for Matt Arnold that he didn't try to sell Garrett Mitchell? Although, in fairness to Garrett Mitchell, he tore his labrum, sliding into third base, and now he broke his hand. So it's not like, I don't know, it's not like Luis Urias, right? Where he comes in fat and then he hurts his hamstring in the first game of the year. That's not what Garrett Mitchell did. Like, breaking bones is, certainly a thing, but you got to drink more milk, I guess, and make sure those bones, stay stiff.
well, it was a shoulder last year, right?
Yeah, it was a labrum. Yeah, I mean, which who just got that injury? And there have been so many injuries, I can't believe it. But Matt McClain of the Reds has a torn labrum, and they don't know if he's going to be back this year. So
That's
that's, I
like
mean,
their
that that's
that's their best player.
a right. That's a significant loss for the Reds. So
I
all the
wasn't too
hype.
concerned about the Reds to begin with, but
No. I wasn't either. And we'll certainly talk about the Central, and kind of the way I wanted to do it is just kind of look, by position, discussing sort of where it is, and where everything's going. Do you want to do the catchers separately, Mitch, or do you want to lump them in with the infield? And then we'll just kind of talk about a couple of the big things, that get everybody ready in case, you're locked in with the Bucks, or you're locked in with Marquette, or you're not thinking baseball yet. Maybe you just need to know what's going on. Should we do catchers and infielders, or just catchers?
these two catchers by itself quick.
Yeah, I mean, you got William Contreras just signed to the Jordan brand, which is kind of cool. And then you also have Gary Sanchez and maybe Eric Haas. Eric Haas, the spring training breakout star. There's no word yet on if he's going to make the roster. So we won't spend too much time on him. So let's just stay with Sanchez and Contreras. I think really my big thing is, like, can Wild Bill keep it up, and can he grow his star? Because I think he is on the precipice of, I don't want to go as far as like face of the franchise, but he's getting really, he's close. He's closing in on that. And I'm curious to see if he can keep that up.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably their best offensive player. I think it's not really a debate until We might have to revisit it in a couple months, see what happens with some of the
Sure.
Chorio or Sal Frelick or somebody like that. But I think Yelich kind of is what he is at this point. He's on the, I don't know, back into his prime. And Wild Bill, as we love to call him, is 26, and kind of that's the start of your prime in baseball. And he was had a I guess a breakout year. I know he was an all-star somehow the year before with Atlanta. But
Like an
now
Atlanta
that,
bump. It was kind of like an Atlanta bump. Sorry to interrupt. Continue.
yeah, he I mean he just yeah he just got the he was by association
Right.
got the pity vote. And no, but he's obviously with a full season finally as full-time catcher, and offensively is has a chance to, I think, have a monstrous season and push for 100 RBIs. And
What?
go
Oh,
ahead.
God. Oh, I was going to ask, would it be crazy to say that he could be a fringe MVP candidate? If he
I
hits
mean,
30.
if you expect the Brewers, I mean, yeah, if he hits, if the Brewers get to 90 wins again with this squad and all the adversity they've had so far, I mean, and he's got 35 homers and 100 RBIs. I mean, absolutely, I
Oh,
think
35 home
he's in the
runs for a catcher
conversation.
is pretty much unheard of. So it's like, I feel like when catchers have those big years, like
I think
Pudge.
he's different. I think he's not your run of the mill catcher. I mean,
Yeah,
he's.
no, that's fair. That's fair. And I think Pudge, I mean, granted, MVPs were done far different when Pudge won his MVP, but I think part of like Pudge's MVP was defense too. Like, I think it was like, we usually say two-way in basketball, but it was like the two-wayness of, Ivan Rodriguez versus just what he's doing at the plate. So,
Yeah, and
yeah.
I don't. I'm obviously Contreras is not a. I think he's good defensively. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's not going to kill you, but he's not Pudge. I mean, he's
No.
not.
Yeah, no.
He's not commanding a staff like that. I mean,
Right.
it's
Yeah.
that's another level, and that would be,
All
I
right.
guess, the argument against him. But I mean, this team, this lineup needs offense.
Yep.
And Contreras is going to be in that 2-3 hole, as long as he's healthy,
Yep.
all year long. And I think he's going to have Frelick in front of him, it looks like.
Oh,
So
God. Yeah, that's gonna be it.
I think Frelick will be an on-base machine, and he's going to have chances.
Absolutely. And then I think quickly with Gary Sanchez, it's just a matter of, okay, it's they made a little move with that. He's gonna be a regular DH. How much is he actually going to catch? Is he going to contribute at maybe first base or something like that? I think with him, I'm just looking at don't put the Brewers in positions where you're striking out, right? Like he had some strikeout problems in the past. Like make good contact, work counts, and I think I understand he's a walk strikeout homer guy, but I just would hope that, can we make sure that we're not leaving runners on second and third and he's just whiffing through with less than two outs.
Yeah, I guess he's got a pretty decent ceiling, but also yeah, could be a low floor as well. Like, I mean,
Oh
I kind of
yeah.
don't know what to expect out of him.
Right. Yeah.
Perhaps more than like anyone on the roster, because he's had that kind of career, right?
Right. Well, and also too, like Jake Bowers, the left-hander who's first baseman and
Mm-hmm.
outfielder, has a similar profile to like Rowdy Tellez before Rowdy Tellez got here. And it would not shock me if Bowers ends up taking over that DH spot for Sanchez in a month. Like if you were to tell me Gary Sanchez is, riding the pine and it's more Jake Bowers and they're just playing Gary when there's lefties, I wouldn't doubt you on that. I wouldn't fight you on that. I think that could certainly be on the table. And I don't
Yeah.
really pay attention too hard to spring stuff. So it's like I don't know how Bowers is. I think he's done okay. But it's not like I don't think it's like the end all be all if a guy's like having a good spring or a bad spring. But we move to the infield. Speaking of springs, Willy Adames has had an incredible spring. And you have, Willy Adames at shortstop, Joey Ortiz, the young guy at third base, another year of Bryce Turang, Rhys Hoskins at first, Monasterio off the bench. I want to start with Adames just because, like, he has had a really good spring, and I'm just fingers crossed that carries over. I realize that, you never know, but it would be absolutely, the Brewers go to another level if Willy Adames is back to, 70% of that 2021 form.
Yeah, I mean that'd be huge for, kind of deepen the lineup a little bit, especially like the middle of the order. I think he's going to slot in there nicely behind Rhys Hoskins. And Willie's, I put him in the same category as like a Yelich, where it's like he is what he is. I know Willie was pretty bad offensively, at least average wise last year. You'd like to see that come up a little. Fangraphs here projects him at 244. I'd probably take that. He hovered around the Mendoza most of the last year. So that's not going to cut it, especially for somebody. Again, this lineup is, a little shaky, I think. And if Willie can continue to hit homers, he led the team last year, right? With like 24 or something, or
He was way too much, though, of a homer walk strikeout guy. And really just a homer strikeout. Nah, he didn't really walk much. And that
Well,
was the problem.
that's potent right, and that's potentially a thing to watch with Pat Murphy is it going to be a little more small ball, with him?
And I wonder, too, with Adames, like, he is in a contract here. So it's. Would it shock you if he goes Bill Hall and hits 35 homers? Maybe not 35, because Bill Hall was doing it when maybe there were some supplements that were allowed that aren't allowed today. But does he go off because he has a contract online? He's seen how much money shortstops have gotten on the open market. And I guarantee you the Brewers will not be able to afford Willy Adames. Now, I think they should be at the table right now with Frelick, Contreras, and try to get something done right now versus, later on. But that's another discussion for another day. But yeah, I would not be surprised if Adames plays really well, mostly because he, not mostly, but he, in a contract year, you just, it's kind of natural. You see it happen a lot in every sport.
Yeah, I don't think Willy Adames would get Corey Seager money.
No. Would he get Correa money?
That was like a what, like a 500-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd probably have to have
28.
a really he'd have to have a really good year.
Yeah, probably. I agree with that. And I guess, we'll stay in the middle of the infield with Bryce Chang. I think with Bryce, they seem hell-bent that he's going to figure it out. Like the shit they're selling, and again, it's, comes from the team, so you can't take it too serious, but everyone seems to think like Bryce can figure it out at the plate. I think fans' patience has kind of waned on Bryce Chang. I think he's kind of, I wouldn't say he's enemy number one, but he's damn near close. And yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure on him to perform early on in the season to get off to a nice start. I mean, it doesn't have to be, hitting bombs and shit like that, but I think there is probably maybe the most pressure on him out of the guys, in this besides Trio, obviously, which is another story.
You think people are that out on Terang? I
Some of
don't
the
really.
shit, some of the stuff I've read on Twitter, yeah. I mean, maybe I'm just getting a small sample. But I just, yeah, I think that there is some discourse about the way that Bryce Terang, is at the plate.
Yeah, kind of sucks that he hit a grand slam on opening day last year, and I think that
Right.
might have set the bar a little higher than, than it needed to be. I'm pretty okay with Terang. I mean, he's playing second base and he's a natural shortstop, but his defense is fantastic. And I think, him being a left-handed bat in a team that doesn't have a ton, will probably give him extra playing time. And I think his spot is pretty safe. I mean, for this year, for sure. And we'll see what happens. And, if Terang can take off a little, that makes Willie what that much more expendable. And you're talking about Willie going off in a contract year. I was thinking, man, Willie goes nuts and you can sell high on him. That would
Oh
be
yeah.
that'd be great.
100%. I mean, if Willie has an awesome first couple months, yeah, you can, in the Brewers struggle, like they're gonna have a lot of assets to move, and they're gonna like Devin potentially, Willie, Rhys Hoskins. We can talk about here, talk about the corners. Like Rhys Hoskins is, another guy where he this Brewer team, and I said this, God, I forget when. I've obviously had some passionate off-season Brewer discussions with you on the pod, off the pod. The Brewers have so much power on this team potentially. They can be just kind of Harvey Wallbanger-esque, where they are just pounding home runs. Like Hoskins is another one where it's like, okay, yeah, he's had a full year off of his ACL. I'm not, Mitch, you hold me to it. I cannot use his ACL injury as an excuse. He's had a full year. Like, he should be fully healthy. He should be ready to go. And yeah, I'm sure he has something to prove. And I'm excited to watch him as well and see, kind of what he's about. And, they could really start mashing with all those guys.
Yeah, Hoskins is clearly a fan favorite in Philly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And between him and Pat Bev, I think we got two of the bigger fan faves out of Philly in the last, couple months.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of cool to hang over their heads. Because you know how I
Hell
feel
yeah.
about Philly fans. But yeah, I tend to think that Hoskins signed here as reclamation project is not fair, but like kind of what it is. I mean, he has it's a prove it deal. I think that the 1 plus 1 type of scenario kind of led you to believe that. And he's gonna come here, prop hopefully mash in a hitter friendly park. And we'll see if it the Brewers are kind of in a good spot with that as an organization, I think, where if they're not good, well then, Rhys Hoskins is the Aroldis Chapman special, where you just sign him and you trade him at the deadline and get something for him, and you thank him for his service, and hardly knew you, but it is what it is. Or if he goes nuts and the Brewers contend, then obviously you have a good team, and it's an enjoyable experience with him. And
Right.
He's probably gone in the off season then anyway,
Yeah, I think he has
but
a player. I think he has a player option, which seems like a lot of these guys do. And obviously
or he loves it. He loves it here, and maybe sticks around.
I mean, he's 31 years old, so I mean, yeah, maybe you tell him like he's like, yeah, I'll take it. And I think it'll be interesting. I heard Yelich did like one of those classic like TikTok chick things, like get ready with me's basically. And it was like a day in the life of Christian Yelich at spring training on his Instagram. And he kind of mentioned like, yeah, we lost a ton of our team and now I'm like the old guy. And so it's like basically him and Hoskins that are in their 30s and that's it. So are they gonna like that? Are they not?
Yeah.
Like,
Well, I thought I saw something that they have. Is it the Brewers have an average service time of like 2 years?
it would not surprise me. I mean, I've stated that I think this team reminds me a lot. It's very eerily similar to what the Packers were last year. You know what I mean? Like potential budding superstar, very young. Expectations are probably lower than they've been in years. Yeah, I
Well,
don't know.
looking at it here, Yelich has 10, so he hit the pension,
Right.
so he really doesn't give a fuck now. And Sanchez is 7 somehow. Rhys Hoskins has 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically that's your core of your lineup is or the middle part of your lineup. And William Contreras only has 2 years, but it feels like he's
Yeah.
a wily vet
Oh
at
yeah.
26 years old.
Yeah, he's well beyond his years. And then last, moving to the outfield, Jackson Chourio, I mean, it's gonna be a roller coaster. I
No,
think it's
Joey Ortiz snubbed on the podcast.
I
That's
mean, I are we gonna go every we're gonna
I'm
go
not
the whole
very excited
roster?
for him. No, I'm not very excited for him.
No,
So
I think he plays an awesome defense at third base, and I think he's gonna make some web gems. And but yeah, I'm not I don't have a lot of Joey Ortiz takes at this point. Maybe check in 2 weeks. We'll do Joey Ortiz hour. Jackson Trio, we probably should have maybe started. That's bad on us, but that's okay. I think it's going to be just this roller coaster. You're just going to ride it, and I wouldn't be surprised if he starts great in April, and then there's a book on him, and he absolutely sucks in the month of May, and then it kind of evens itself out in June and July. Like, that would be my like expectation. He could also really struggle to start and then start figuring it out in May. That's certainly on the table, but I feel like it's very important. And I know I'm going to see a lot of it. I'm pissed off. It's going to be very important for Brewers fans just to be cool about Jackson Trio and not overreact to every fucking at bat.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even, that's, you want to talk about low, I mean, I don't know about low
Oh.
floor, but high ceiling, obviously as high of a ceiling as the Brewers have had, probably since Ryan Braun, where it's like, this dude is, a projected stud, and now he's got to go out there and perform, and he's got the contract, so he's got the security. And I don't know. I feel like the contract stuff probably wouldn't weigh on a 20-year-old that much, but it's got to make him feel pretty decent, that the team saw enough in him, coming up in just a couple years to pay him that money and get out in front of it. And now he can just go out there and play, and hopefully that takes a little pressure off of him. I mean, but you're right. Brewer fans are going to be, I mean, probably going to be putting the screws to them a little bit, I
Yeah,
think.
fuck. I mean, they're fucking nuts. I mean, they overreact to everything. Like, there was a guy I saw they announced, and there's been a lot of Bob Uecker. Like, Bob Uecker's, they, Schlesinger's comments today was like, Bob's calling opening day, and we're going to take it game by game from there. And then, literally, in the mentions, the guy's like, should have signed Montgomery. I'm like, you fucks, like, just can we calm down just a little bit? Like, just, I don't know. Brewers fans are almost more unhinged than Bucks fans, and that's hard to do. But somehow, some way, I know they're from the same feather, but it feels that way. I don't know if you agree, disagree, but yeah, it's just, you got to ride out the Chirio stuff, man. It's going to be fun, and hopefully it's, an awesome first year, and it's not one of these where we're litigating the Chirio contract in, June or July, because that would suck. But it's certainly on the table that it could happen.
Yeah, well, he'd be stuck with him regardless. So,
Yeah.
no, but
And
he, I mean, even like Freddy Peralta, who signed what, a 6 or 7 year deal,
yeah.
and very team friendly,
Yes.
I might add,
Oh, yeah.
and we'll get to him shortly. But I mean, he wasn't perfect either to start, and he kind of figured it out and has become the opening day starter.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no question. I feel like we covered a lot on Yelich. I think it's just for Yelich, it's like, hey, can that power come back? And I do think, I will say, he sitting him third, and you're hitting in front of Contreras and you're hitting behind Hoskins, you get a lot of good fucking pitches. You're gonna get a lot of pitches that you probably weren't getting last year or the year prior. And I know you're fired up for, him in the three spot, like the Michael Jordan, where the lyrics of Dreams and Nightmares come on. That's basically you right now with Yelich hitting third.
Sure. I mean, it's just I mean, I just prefer Frelick as a leadoff hitter
Yeah.
than down in the order, and that's more what it is. And I think, maybe you put Yelich down in the order a little bit and more of a spot where I don't know if it's old school of me, but it just feels like if you're a third hitter, you should be hitting it for a little more power.
Yep.
And I think it's possible that maybe he could step back into that type of a role, because I think he figured out the contact side of things again, and hopefully he can just step in as like you said, kind of in a nice cushy spot between Contreras and Hoskins. I mean, gonna get some pitches to hit, and he's gotta figure out a way to, I don't know. Hopefully his back's a little healthier and
Yep.
can hit maybe 25 homers.
Yeah, and I mean the Frelick thing and leadoff. I mean, nothing would probably piss me off more if Frelick's just awesome at the leadoff, which he probably will be, but that he's awesome in the first month, and it's like Craig Council didn't just try this a little bit, maybe in the postseason, maybe, you know, down the stretch, nothing. We decided that this wasn't going to be a good idea last year. Because yeah, Frelick, you know, he's going to get that opportunity at least against right-handers. I think left-handers, they're going to go with Blake Perkins. So I don't know if that bumps Yelich back up to the one spot or what, but yeah, we'll kind of see what they do, you know, against lefties. But Frelick will get that opportunity, and that'll be very, very fun to watch.
For sure. Yeah. And now with the Mitchell injury, it seems like Frelick is going to be a permanent outfielder again. And I was kind of excited to see if they would throw him at third a little
Yeah,
more
me
often.
too.
But it doesn't feel like that's going to be the case because who knows when Mitchell's coming back. I mean, it just feels like he's always hurt. And I don't know.
Yeah, no,
Oh,
it's yeah,
wow. A
it's
wild Garrett Mitchell came back. Holy shit. That's his music.
right. It'd be nice if the hand injury, but yeah, I mean, if it's a 6 to 8 week injury, it's like, okay, is that 6 to 8 weeks with rehab, or is that 6 to 8 weeks with, you know, that's going to take time to heal and then you're going to get it. It also will be interesting if Sal's going to play opening day, because they are facing lefty and former Brewer killer Jose Quintana, who just never seems to die. You know, because Kodai Senga, I might butcher that,
Senga.
Senga
Kodai Senga.
has a shoulder injury, so he's down for like 2 months. So yeah,
Hilarious.
we get
The Mets have a $300 million payroll and their opening day starter is Jose Quintana.
yeah, that's that
How is
one we
that even
might.
possible?
Yeah, we might have to ask Frank for comment. If Frank the Tank, noted Mets fan, who,
Wow.
let me tell you, I love going to Frank's page when the Brewers beat the Mets. Like, that is probably one of my favorite activities. I do sometimes drop the review in Frank's comments, which you could say is me trying to, you know, leverage myself off of Frank. And yeah, that's true. I'm shameless. I don't give a fuck. You know, you gotta make plays
Might
when
as
you know.
well.
Yeah, exactly. So, but when the Mets win, I don't touch Frank. I don't talk to him. But yeah, he's quite the character, as you all probably know.
For sure.
All right, let's move to pitching. Wow, that starting rotation is far cry from what it's been. Right
Yeah.
now we are looking at a rotation of Freddie Peralta, DL Hall, Colin Ray, Jacob Junis, and Joe Ross. Now, Wade Miley is on the IL with an injury. I think he should be back soon. It sounded like the Brewers were going to have Gasser, and then the bone spur stuff pops up, which is really unfortunate. And now the Brewers are in an interesting spot. I don't know pitching wise what they do. I almost wonder, could they, and I know they'd probably have to throw in like small minor leaguer, but could they convince a team that needs some pop in their bat, like trade Haas for like a, you know, another out getter, if you will, that Pat Murphy called him? Like, I don't know. Like, I at this point, I'm not feeling great. I feel like the Brewers are gonna have to win most games like 7-5, if they want to win baseball games.
Yeah, that rotation is pretty ugly. I'd kind of hope Darren Ashby would be in there, but doesn't sound like he must. I mean, is he still hurt or what's? I mean,
He didn't have a good spring. I mean, his spring
right.
sucked. He just could not, like, I think he just needs more seasoning. I think he just needs to go to AAA. I think the Brewers have something crazy like 26 games in 27 days coming up here. So I would imagine that when that starts, they'll probably bring more pitching up. So I think maybe they'll keep him down there for a, you know, week or something like that, and then they'll deploy Ashby and see if they can kind of help that out. You know,
Yeah.
Bryce Wilson was tested out as starter in, you know, a couple times over spring training. That didn't go that well. So
Yeah.
I mean,
Well, I think there's a good amount of pressure on Freddy Peralta just
yeah, and I
because
worry about that a little bit. Freddie is not exactly a guy who relishes in pressure.
Well, neither does Corbin Burns either, so
Yeah,
You
fair.
know, that's fine. That's why, I mean, we said all along we'd rather have Woodruff or over Burns in a one game winner take all type of scenario. And that bore out in the playoffs once again, where Burns was just not good. And you know, so it wasn't like, I don't know. I mean, obviously Burns moving on, it was probably time. And you know, you got a former top prospect in DL Hall. I mean, I'm excited for that guy just because of, I think,
Oh yeah.
what he could be, but walks are an issue with, as with a lot of, you know, hard throwing. But I mean, Brewers haven't had a hard throwing lefty in maybe
Oh
ever.
God.
So I mean, I can't think of any.
I don't, yeah.
We've had more Chris Narvisons than
Oh, what a pull. Or a Steve Sparks, who might be a knuckleballer, and I
Doug
think a lefty.
Davis,
Like Doug Davis, Randy
another soft
Wolf.
tosser.
The
Yep,
human
Randy
rain
Wolf.
delay, Randy Wolf, Chris Capuano with the best pickoff move in this side of the Mississippi.
Randy Wolf would, I must hate the pitch clock.
Oh my God. I would love to get Randy Wolf on a podcast just to ask him about the pitch clock and just say, go. Pitch, what's your thoughts on the pitch clock? One, two, three, go.
Yeah,
That'd
I
be
hate it.
amazing.
Colin Ray, Junis, Ross. I mean, of those three guys, like Junis, I guess, is the most exciting,
Yeah, oh yeah.
but I don't really consider him a starter at this point. You know, he spent the last couple seasons, I think, out of as like a long reliever, bullpen type guy. But he came up as a starter and has some time as a starter. So I think out of necessity, he's going to have to throw, you know, he's going to have to get to the fifth inning.
Right.
So we'll
Yeah.
see.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting, you know, if there are other guys where that they can kind of make moves in AAA and everything like that. You know, I don't think Jansen Junk's a big leaguer. I don't know why they keep fucking around with him. But a guy like Carlos F. Rodriguez, who they drafted in the sixth round, you know, I think that's an interesting, intriguing option if he does well in AAA, where maybe, you know, things can turn around. They traded for Evan McHenry, who's in AAA right now as a you know guy. I think there was some hype around TJ Shuck, if I'm not mistaken. Mizorowski's probably he's
Next year.
probably not there this year, or if he is, it's going to be in the bullpen. It's not going to be as a starter. So I'm not going to pin that Mizorowski's going to be ready this year.
Yeah,
But
that's why the Gasser stuff is shitty,
that's brutal.
because
That's so
I
fucking
mean,
brutal.
it was kind of the ace in the hole for the
Right.
rotation. Like, if you can just get by, then maybe bring him up in May or April or June or, you know, later on in the
Yeah.
year
Yeah.
and kind of hope he takes off, you know, then maybe you got something there. But yeah, pitching starting rotation is not going to be the strength of this team.
I will remind everybody, you know, and I'm not saying this team's gonna be the 2018 team, but that rotation was Jhulease Chessing, Chase Anderson, Junior Guerra, Brent Suter, Wade Miley, Freddie Peralta. So I know Corbin Burns and Woodruff were in the bullpen and they pitched a decent amount, but those were your primary starters in 2018. That is not a who's who of names, shall we say.
Yeah, that is true.
It's just like
You had Hader too in the deployable weapon role,
right
which was a huge thing.
before Hader became a fucking asshole. Yeah, it was
Right.
you know, and wish that
But
guy.
that was so big for that team though. I mean, he
Oh
pitched,
yeah,
you know,
yo,
every
no,
third day or whatever.
Hader was 6-1, and he was 24. He was 2.43 ERA. He played 55 games and had 12 saves that year, and pitched 81 innings in that year. And Jeffers was great too. He had, you know, he was incredible. I mean, their bullpen was incredible, and we can get to the bullpen. I mean, even without Devin Williams, as you mentioned, kind of in the open, like it's still pretty good bullpen. I think my biggest fear, shall we say, is I worry just about the mentals, you know, as like, oh, I'm closing a game now for, especially on the road, things like that. I don't know who's going to get that closer role first. Is it going to be Piamis? Is it going to be McGill? Is it going to be your rebate? Do you have a preference? Are you like, if you're, Pat Murphy's bench coach, what are you pulling for one guy over the other, or are you just kind of like, base it all on matchup?
I mean, PyOmps would be kind of the natural choice, in my opinion. I mean, just to get the first crack at it, I think he's got the stuff and has the service time, and I think he gets first crack. But I mean, obviously, Abner Uribe would be great if, the talk about electric stuff. I mean, he's got, I
Oh yeah.
mean, he's pretty much second to none, I think, in velo and stuff like that, and good slider, throws a sinker, is extremely emotional,
Yes.
but that isn't necessarily a bad thing. Would I want to see him close a playoff game tomorrow? No, probably not. But yeah, that's why they play 162 of these things,
Right.
and he could hopefully, take that spot over eventually.
I wouldn't sleep on Trevor Miguel either. I think Trevor
No.
Miguel has some stuff. Like, I
Oh,
think
and he's
he's
a
nasty.
big guy too.
Right. And he's an intimidating motherfucker. And I like the idea of Trevor Miguel too. I think he's kind of the forgotten one because he, it was kind of an interesting role where he wasn't exactly a back end guy, but he wasn't exactly a middle reliever, and he just sort of floated last year. I think he's built for this, and I'm excited to see that. And I think he's going to get an opportunity. But yeah, someone's going to, in these first 30, 45 days, grab this kind of role hopefully by the balls. Hopefully we have an answer when you and I are podcasting more about Bucks playoffs in May. But we're, talking a little bit about the Brewers. We're like, oh yeah, they got a closer. It's Uribe, or they got a closer. It's PyOmps. Like, that would be great. And then, in terms of their middle of the order or middle relief, still solid. I mean, we all thought the bottom would fall out on Hobie Milner last year. It didn't. So I mean, that's always a worry. I think managing Elvis Pagero's innings is important. I feel like when he wasn't burned out, he was a great pitcher, but I felt like Counsell, whenever he just needed a guy in the seventh inning, it's like, fuck it, we'll put Pagero out there. So I don't know. That's there, and then everything else, we'll see. I'm not a Bryce Wilson guy, and I'll continue to
No.
not be a Bryce Wilson guy. I know he had some big moments for this team, but I never feel good when Bryce Wilson's in the game.
Yeah. Thiago Vieira is interesting.
Oh yeah.
Assuming he makes the team.
Yeah, I think he's going to. I think they feel pretty good about that one.
Yeah. I don't know. I weirdly feel okay about the bullpen
Yeah,
right
no,
now,
I
even despite the Williams injury, but
wrote,
it seems
yeah.
like that's, I guess the lineup's probably going to be, the offense is going to be one of the strengths of the team, but if it's that or bullpen.
Yeah, I agree. So to wrap up, and then we'll move to Marquette. Brewers over under is 77.5. Are you going over or under that number?
Man, that's kind of low.
That's how I
I would
feel.
probably, I'd go slightly over, probably.
I think that's a good value because it's just the Brewers, I feel like have a plan. I think they know what they're doing, and I think they have the talent. I worry about the injuries, I worry about the rotation, but I do think their offense is going to be a lot better. And I think, yeah, it would not surprise me if they win 84 to 85 games. Now they have, I think, the second worst odds to win the division at like 7-1. Where do you think there is any shot at the division? Where would you slot the Brewers, in terms of the division with everybody else?
Trying to think who's running away with the division. I mean,
That's my point. Like,
like
I,
St. Louis and Chicago, I guess, on
dude,
paper,
like,
but
but
like,
the Cardinals are so fucking old. Like, the Cardinals are just like, let's get every old guy that we possibly can. Like, I am not, and I know, like, I'm a homer, I get it, but like, I can't look at this team and be like, oh yeah, this is the bastion of youth. Like, obviously with Goldschmidt, Arenado's getting up there. Williams' brother Wilson. Yeah, could you have a they have some young guys with Walker, Scott, and Wynn ready to sort of break out, but then look at that rotation. Nicholas, Thompson, Wynn, Steven Matz, Kyle Gibson. Is that any better than ours?
Probably a little, yeah.
Really? With all those old fucks?
Colin Ray, dude, is your third starter?
Lance Lindell was not good last year. He
Yeah,
gave
but
up
he's an at least a more established, professional.
I don't know. I might rather have Lance. I might rather have Colin Ray than Lance Lynn. That's bad. That's Homer. That is. But I don't know. Oh man. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Their team is certainly interesting.
I mean, Zach Thompson could be sitting right next to me right now, and I wouldn't know who that is.
He
So,
pitched against the Brewers, I don't know, one or two times. I think with the Cubs, the biggest thing for me with the Cubs, and obviously, yes, I know Craig Counsell, the whole thing. They have a very good their offense is pretty solid, not gonna lie. 1-6 is really good. But the real question here is like, will Justin Steele hold up? Like Justin Steele pitched the most he's pitched. He was awesome last year. But can he replicate that? Can he, get that? Kyle Hendricks, talk about a guy getting up there in age for sure. Shota Umanja has been really good in the spring, the guy they got from Japan. So that could be a potential issue. That bullpen though, with Counsell being a bullpen guy, leaves a lot to ask questions. Alizé is a stud at closer. Very emotional though. Guy who can, lose it a little bit. Neris, I feel like has been on every team. I felt great when Julian Merriweather or Mark Leiter or Drew Smiley was in the game against the Brewers. I don't know. I don't like that bullpen at all. So yeah, I think to your point, going back to what you asked, is anyone really running away with it? I don't think so. I think 88 wins could win this division.
Yeah, probably because unless I know Cincinnati had a good run last year, but with when Ellie came up, but unless he becomes Acuna, which is possible, I don't know. I don't see the Reds as necessarily a huge threat. They'll probably be a little better.
Yeah, they have a very, again, another very talented lineup. But then you look at that rotation and guys give up a lot of contact. Like Andrew Abbott was good for against the Brewers and a couple starts, and then he completely fell apart. Hunter Green has a great fastball, but the problem is he pitches the contact with that fastball, and that fastball gets hit out of the fucking park. Same with Graham Ashcraft. He has two pitches. Frankie Montas can't stay healthy. I don't know. But I hear you. I think the bullpen though is not too bad. Suter's over there now, and Justin Wilson, who I think was a Brewer for a hot minute as well. So
Suter came home finally. Good for him.
yeah. But I mean, he just must be a sicko that he likes to pitch in band boxes, going from Coors Field to Great American Ballpark.
When you throw 84, you don't really have to worry about,
That's true.
it going out fast the other way.
It's true. Yeah, I think honestly, I would rather see the Cardinals win the division this year than the Cubs. I can't have like Craig Counsell getting his dick sucked this year. I just can't. And he'll win manager of the year, and that'll be the worst because it's like, oh yeah, great. Now that you get to a big market, you're suddenly, a deity. And that's just how it goes.
Oh yeah, the Cubs
And
media mafia.
And they're on prime time to start the year to play the Rangers, in ESPN's only game on opening day.
Oh wow. Well,
Yeah.
yeah.
Counter programming to the Sweet 16. So way to stay relevant, baseball. Good job.
Well, yeah, you also think the world shuts down for the NCAA tournament, so.
That's true. But there will be people that will be watching Cubs Rangers, yes, instead of just think like the casual fan would probably be turning on Cubs Rangers at 3 o'clock if they're coming home from work or if they are working from home. You might turn on Cubs Rangers versus it's at 6:30 and the second game has just tipped off in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Anything else Brewers wise before we go to Sweet 16?
No, let's move on.
I think with the Sweet 16, so Marquette's there, as everyone knows, I'm a fan, talked a lot about it. Get NC State. The matchup seems nice. They actually kind of seem a little carbon copy of Colorado with their pick and roll defense. DJ Burns has been really good, and DJ Burns also is really good when he gets doubles. Marquette does a lot of that to big men. So that's a little bit of a concern. But where I kind of went to the nervous vibes and want to check in on you because this relates to you, I spoiled this in a chat with one of our chats, but I will bring it to the podcast. I feel this is a lot like the 2021 Hawks with the Bucks, where it's like, all right, now you're here, and now you have an opponent that is beatable, and you have an opponent that you should beat. And if you
Yeah.
lose this, it's kind of a fucking embarrassment. Versus if you're playing Kentucky, right? I don't think I like if you lose to Kentucky, Kentucky has, you know, two guys who are gonna go in the lottery, maybe three. Like, okay, fine. But like now you're playing an NC State team that looks beatable. You're 6.5 point favorite. Like, I'm just kind of like, I want them to take care of business, but I'm also scared to death that they won't take care of business. And then all these Badger fans are laughing in my fucking face.
I mean, yeah, that I hear you. There's you have a golden opportunity here. No pun intended, but for the Golden Eagles, get it.
Yeah, I got it. I got it. Yeah.
But cool. Thank you very much.
Sorry for not laughing.
no, but yeah, I mean it's a golden opportunity. But you thought you compared it to the Hawks. I mean, that's not a bad comparison. Obviously, a series versus a one
Right.
game, you
Right.
know, that's what is, you know, so unfortunate about the tournament and fortunate as viewers. I mean, craziness happens, but it's like I do feel like Marquette's a lot kind of on a mission, you know,
Yeah.
compared to it. Like it's such a that was such a big hump to get over, you know, and. Yeah, it was. It never felt like they were going to lose that Colorado game, and I kind of thought that wouldn't necessarily be. You disagree?
I needed you on that couch then because I was going through it. Now maybe it was because I had a camera in my face and I was like, but I was dying. Like I was just like, because I had to stay in my seat. I couldn't move. I think I just was like, I was in hell at one point. I didn't think they were gonna lose. I kind of agree, but I was definitely nervous, man. I was Tristan Da Silva. That guy is gonna be a very, I think he's gonna be a very good NBA player. He's like getting mocked in like the high teens, low 20s. Like I think he'll be a really solid basketball player in
Yeah,
the NBA.
he's got Raptors or Heat written all over him for
Oh yeah,
sure. Just
100%.
another like 6'8" guy that isn't gonna miss and
The Heat are gonna build the Cocaine Cowboys team with Da Silva, Hawkes. You know, they'll keep doing it. You know, just building for the culture.
Jack Golke is gonna go to the Heat and
Yep.
he'll hit 8 threes in a playoff game like probably next year in the playoffs,
Yep.
against the Bucks and
Yep.
you know it'll be. You know, the oh, half his high school is in attendance at the playoff game,
Shut
and
up. Like I can't, I don't even want to dreamcast that. Like we can't do that.
right.
But like I agree. The mission is there. I think Tyler Kolek is playing just at another level right now. You know, Mark Titus has said this is the year of the cold ass white boy. And that is Tyler Kolek in a nutshell. And I don't think NC State really has the recipe to beat Tyler Kolek. I think personally, when Tyler Kolek's at his worst is when a team like beats the shit out of him and is just playing prison ball, you know, like you see with the Heat or the Raptors, who we just mentioned, like, you know, old school Nick Nurse or what the Heat do. Like, that's the stuff that kind of affects Kolek. And so I worry about that if they advance and they play Houston, because that's what Houston does. And that would be a really tough challenge for TK. But I think that he just, you know, he's at another level, and he has this layup, you know, that can't really be stopped. Like, he gets into the lane and his extension is just incredible, and just gets to the bucket and finds those opportunities.
And you said KOC compared him to Jalen Brunson and Goran Dragic. I mean, I can kind of see Dragic. I think Brunson's a little bit of a stretch. But Dragic, you know, just in that way that he's, you know, kind of plays at his own pace, to be cliche. You know, doesn't really get rattled in the college at the college level. You know, it's I tell you what, it's a nice luxury to have, you know, arguably the best point guard, or one of the best point guards in college basketball. It's a huge luxury. And I think, as far as DJ Burns, like, I was pretty worried about Marquette holding up against Lampkin, and I think they did a pretty good job for the most part with him. I mean, you know, he wasn't really eaten at any point. So, and I was, you know, I thought he would be kind of the worst of it, but he wasn't. So I feel like I do have a little more confidence in their interior defense,
And I
despite
think,
being a little thin there.
yeah, and I think they're gonna probably use like that. DJ Burns is kind of in the story of this game. Like DJ Burns is doing every media possible. Like was on Rich Eisen, was on Part of My Take. You know, everyone's talking to DJ Burns. You know, there's no one really talking to Marquette, which is fine. Like that's okay. Like I'm.
That's what the tournament is for the media.
Oh
It's
right.
what
Oh
who can we
absolutely.
what weird looking person, or, you
Right.
know, or Jack
Well,
Pocke, this random fucker from Wisconsin that's 25 years old.
and what makes you want, what will be very curious to see with NC State, and we'll know in the first 10 minutes of this game, are they just happy to be here or is this going to be a fight? Because sometimes with these 10, these double digit seeds, it's just you're happy to be here and you get blitzkrieged and this thing is over early. And that happened with Marquette 1 year. They were an 11 seed under Buzz, and they got to the Sweet 16, beat Syracuse, mind you, in the second round. People don't forget Shannon. And then played North Carolina and got absolutely fucking killed. Got absolutely smoked by that Carolina team. And so we'll know early on. And they played a lot of basketball. I think at when it was all said and done against Oakland, they had played 7 games in 12 days. So that's a lot of hoops. And now you do get some time off, obviously, but you're back at it again now 6 days later. So that would be what, 18, 8 and 18? That's still not a still not a light work in terms of hoops.
Yeah, so it's, you know, they gotta come through for sure. I
Yeah.
mean,
Yeah, gotta get it done. If you
I
get it
think
done in
Houston, you get
here,
to Houston, that's then it's
house
like,
money.
okay.
Yeah, that's Houston or Duke, it's house money. Duke, I don't know if I could deal with like having to watch Marquette and deal with a Duke whistle on Easter and then having to deal with the Celtics whistle later in my year. That could just kill me in general.
Yeah.
But
I think
yeah.
if they get to the Elite Eight, then your worries about Wisconsin fans, I
Oh
think.
yeah, no, then it's more actually back on Wisconsin and being like, how do we get back here? And it's, you know, and it's that discussion.
And
And, you know,
I thought you were kind of over that with the Sweet 16, but.
I am. I think it's the opponent though. That's what I mean. Like if we're playing Alabama, right? Like I or Illinois, or well, we couldn't play Creighton, but let's just say Tennessee, right? Like we're playing one of those teams. I am saying, yeah, it is a mission accomplished. But because you're playing this NC State team that I don't think is at the same level as everybody else, I need you to take care of business. And I'll be really disappointed if the run ends here versus on Sunday or next Saturday or next Monday. And we'll just see. And yeah, it'll be. I will say the last thing about this, and then we'll go to the Bucks. The fact that you're going to get to play Houston or Duke after they have played each other, which should be a war on Friday, is a massive advantage for Marquette, especially if they can, you know, win by 20 and only play their guys 30 minutes because that's going to be a war. That is going to be a physical ass fucking basketball game. And I'm excited for it. And there's so many good games in these next 2 days. I'm very upset that I'll be doing a fantasy baseball draft with likely no basketball on and baseball on instead. Again, the clock doesn't move, but it's okay. You know, we soldier on.
Yeah.
All right. So with the Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks. So as we said at the beginning, you know, tough loss to the Lakers. It got kind of tougher as Pat Bev did his podcast and said that he'd be out maybe 3 to 4 months. His social media team, shout out Barstool, posted that he may have missed 3 to 4 months, breaking stories like he's Shams or Woj. Then if you go to listen to the podcast, which then I had to do, I was in the middle of a good Shane Gillis interview on Part of My Take. It's like, oh, fuck. So I gotta go listen to this. And it's like, yeah, I could miss three or four months. He's talking with his agent on the podcast and is like, yeah, we're gonna play through it, basically, and we're gonna figure it out. Might miss some time, but I'm basically gonna play through it. And I love some of the content creators for Bucks that just didn't actually listen to the podcast and just reacted. So good job by those people. Not gonna name names, but it's just like that sucks, man. That even if he does play, like it's not gonna be 100%. And then he's not a good shooter as is. Now you have a bum wrist. You can't like that's not gonna make things better.
Yeah, I mean, why do you think he did that? I mean, so people would race and listen to the podcast. That's part of it.
Yep,
I do think that
that is exactly where correct. That's podcast 101.
I do think that he will probably try to play through it. He's questionable for the game
Yeah.
tonight in New Orleans. I didn't admittedly really see an injury report before the Lakers game, so I didn't realize he wasn't playing until we got to about the 1 minute mark of the first quarter and he didn't come in yet. And I think AJ Green came in before him. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Mustn't be playing. Then I saw he was in street clothes and I was like, all right. And then I see this and, you know, I don't really want Pat Bev shooting anyway. So like, I do think that he could probably, you know, you'd hate to have someone hurt themselves more. But I don't know if like a bad wrist really would. I think he could still impact the game for the Bucks
Right.
without, you know, being perfectly healthy. I think he's more of a he's out there for defense and having, you know, a bad wrist doesn't necessarily hurt his impact that much. So, you know, maybe the fact that he's questionable for the game against New Orleans is encouraging in that regard because you would think that if it's that bad, he'd be at least out for a few, right?
Yeah,
And
you'd miss the road trip basically. They'd say, all right, you know, get some treatment, you know, miss the, you know, New Orleans. I think their trip is New Orleans, Atlanta, Washington. Like just miss, but and I'm sure he'll maybe miss, you know, one of those games in there where Doc's like, yeah, don't play against the Wizards. Don't try to get
yeah.
yourself hurt against the Wizards, you know.
I'm trying to think if how much his impact was felt in the loss to the Lakers. I mean, his lack of, you know, impact, his lack of just being
Yeah,
out there.
I think, you know, it put a little more on, you know, Dame had probably play a little bit more. I think, you know, probably led to a little more Pat Connaughton, who I didn't think was all that great yesterday.
That's what I
And
don't like is the fact that Connaughton's kind of the backup point guard if
yeah, he's
Beverly
the
is not
not
out
nah, let's
there.
not put it that way. Let's put it as he's the backup. He basically fills the minutes. It's not necessarily he's a backup point guard. It's like he just fills those minutes and he's good at 16 minutes. He's not exactly good at 22 minutes. And I know that's weird. It's 6 minutes, but those 6 minutes matter. You know, heaven forbid he can't just close out on a three. He has to run by every goddamn time. I don't know how many times he can do that. I just stretch.
It's at least once a game.
Well, yeah, he did it. I second quarter of the Laker game yesterday. And it's like, and also like, you know, they just need
Did
to.
you timestamp that one for us? I
I
mean,
just
I have to go
remembered it.
back and
I was on the bike for the first half, and I just, you know, I was kind of more locked in because I was I just was riding my, trying not to think about how my fucking ass hurt and was just trying to get myself going. And I was like, come on, man. But
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. The,
Yeah, it's a killer for
it
sure when he does
is.
that.
Yeah. And then, in terms of the first round opponent, as we're getting closer and closer here to the playoffs, the Heat are lurking. And, it could be the Pacers, could be the Sixers. At this point, I haven't really handicapped it. I think I weirdly would say the Pacers if I had to pick, just because I just don't think that up and down game will go. Like, it won't work in the playoffs. Like, that's just not how playoff basketball really works. And I think they've been limited, with the rules that have changed. Like, I think that has hurt Indiana a little bit, and Tyrese Haliburton can't really hit a shot anymore. So I don't know. I think my vote would be for Indiana, but I can hear the case against it too. Do you have a preference on the first round opponent yet, or are you not there yet?
It probably would be, I mean, it'd be Philly without Embiid, but if Embiid comes back, then it's like, fuck
Yeah,
me.
no. Yeah, you don't want Giannis getting it. Well, the only worry with Philly, even Embiid, no Embiid, is fucking Nick Nurse. Is Nick Nurse beating the absolute shit out of us for, even 5 games? Like, I worry about our guys' health against either Philly or Miami. They are dirty fucking teams.
Well, I'm too with the league kind of coming out and
Yeah.
saying, but oh, by the way, we've stopped calling some of the ticky-tack stuff, which I think we saw in the Laker game.
Oh, yeah.
How is that going to translate to the postseason? I mean, is it going to be total rock fights? I mean, I don't know. I think the league needs to be a little bit careful with that, because
Yeah, no one
as great
wants
as
a
great
70.
as
But go
great
ahead.
as it is, we like the the physicality. I mean, emotions get that much higher, and
Yeah.
it's going to be, I mean, on the refs to control that a little. If you're not calling stuff, I mean, ain't no telling what could happen.
Right.
But
Yeah.
yeah, so Indiana, I think Halliburton's, I heard at, like, I think I was listening to Tim Legler does a podcast with some Adam Morris or some dude. I watch YouTube. Tim Legler is a fantastic basketball
Oh yeah.
analyst.
Yeah. How has Tim Legler
And
not got like a coaching job? How has no one said to them, like, hey, maybe we should hire Tim Legler?
well,
Maybe he's been asked and he's just
how
like,
has he
I don't
not gotten more ESPN run? I'll tell you why, because he's not a hot take artist.
know.
So, and he said it before, like, he's like, yeah, I'm just not going to say some of the stuff, and that's fine. I'm not gonna. So he, so anyway, he said Haliburton was only averaging like 16 points a game since the All-Star break or something.
Yeah, I
So,
know. My fantasy team suffered with Tyrese. I missed the playoffs because of that. But yeah, no, it's you're right. It's he's not at this level that people perceived him at, pre All-Star, pre-injury.
he was getting called a top 10 player,
Right. Top 10
during the in-season
Tyrese. Yeah.
tournament run, and that's just, he hasn't been that, and
No.
you can
And
see it.
right. And I think there's no way the Bucks would lose the 2 seed. Three seed. I mean, if they flip, the only one that I would care about them flipping with, and we talked about that I think last week, was the Knicks. It's like, as long as you're not flipping with the Knicks and you lose the home court against the Knicks with Madison Square Garden and all the bullshit there, be okay. That would be fine. But that would be the only one that I'd be annoyed. I still would feel confident with the Bucks in a series against the Knicks, even though they did just get Mitchell Robinson back from injury. But yeah, I think
I
that.
prefer he plays for the Knicks. I love it when Mitchell Robinson plays. I mean, he's
Right.
a rebounding machine, but
He
I
can't.
mean, we
Yeah.
just he's not an offensive threat. It's just,
No. No. And they just, I don't think they have the size to go, 3 rounds personally. I would short Knicks stock, honestly. Yeah, Philly with Embiid, it's such a fascinating decision because it's like, these big guys take a while to heal. And is the juice really worth the squeeze
when you're the 8 seed
to,
or
well,
seven seed,
right.
I guess.
And it's like, okay, I guess if you are the 8 seed and you're like, hey, if we beat Boston, this thing opens up. If we do what Miami did to Milwaukee last year, this thing all of a sudden opens up. We suddenly have a chance. And I could see them weirdly talking themselves more into it if they play Boston than if they play Milwaukee, because then it's like, okay, the big bad Celtics are gone, and now we got a shot. But I still don't know if that's worth the squeeze of potentially injuring, you know, if Embiid gets hurt again, you know, who knows what happens for the following year. And for Embiid, selfishly, he's out for the Olympics. And I know that's something Embiid wants to do. And so that's, and Embiid can kind of be a selfish guy sometimes. So I don't know. I'll be very curious to see what happens. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of fake stories from Woj and Shams, and just a lot of, well, maybe, and Windhorst, like, well, like all that other bullshit. So, you know, that's just the world we live in with the NBA.
Well, remember what happened with the Bucks last year, and it's et cetera. I mean,
Oh
it's
yeah,
yeah,
no,
pretty
I would
much.
love that for the Celtics. I'd love for the Celtics to feel a little bit of that heat, feel a little bit of that pressure. God, it's not too blue lead, so we can't laugh at the Celtics today on the pod. That's brutal.
That's the worst part about the loss.
Yeah. Oh man. Anything else for the people before
Well,
we
it could be along those lines. I mean, you won, so that this is my last thing for the people. I mean, you had a great game against Oklahoma City. I mean, mint game, best game of the year, and nobody saw it because you're playing Oklahoma City, and it was Sunday night during the tournament, and then you get the Tuesday night standalone game on TNT. It's the Lakers. No NCAA tournament. There's probably a women's game. I don't know. I don't watch that stuff. But,
Wow, sexist.
yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
But then you lose. You blow a lead to the Lakers, and it was only a 19-point lead for the record. Not that much in the NBA, but I know.
Not that bad.
They hung around in that game enough. So, I mean, it's not like, oh my God. Jalen Williams just hit a three with 4 seconds left to tie it against the
Oh, wow.
Rockets. This
Wow.
game, the end of this, I've watched the last 3 minutes of this. It's been pretty
They had the
fantastic
Rocket.
NBA basketball game.
My Rockets, Mitch, my Rockets. I told you about the Rockets all year. I was high on the Rockets to start the year. They have came on like a freight train here. But yeah, the
No SGA though, that might shock you.
and I know SGA is out tonight. But the yeah, I agree. It is frustrating. And I will say though, I think Shafty or another Bucks guy said it first, so I'm not taking full credit for this, but the correlation between the Celtics and the Mike Budenholzer Bucks is way stronger than I think the national media would tell you.
Yeah, I mean, I do think the Celtics have their doubters. There's no question.
Oh yeah, well, because they suck in clutch time. I mean, that's the thing. But you know, people think that like Denver and Boston are on this tier alone, and that it's this like, you know,
Collision
collision
course.
court.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Collision course, like fuck off. Like, I just don't agree with that. I don't. I'm sorry.
Well,
I
I
know
said
what
on
the
the
odds.
podcast last week that Denver won't make it to the finals.
Well, I love that. That's a great take. That is like a pinned profile take, and just say Denver's not making it. Love that. All right. Anything else before we go?
That's it for me.
What's the final four, real quick, if you had to guess?
Well, mine's still intact
All right.
per
What
my
it?
bracket, so
There you
I
go.
have to probably go with that.
All right. Yeah, you got a rock.
Or not Marquette. I said Marquette. Creighton, Houston, UConn, and Arizona.
All right. I'm gonna actually go Alabama, and which is one of my final four teams. Alabama, UConn, Marquette, Homer, and I might say Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga might be able to beat Purdue. I don't know. I gotta think about it. But I
Ever since Friend of the
Gonzaga's.
Pod, Eric brought up the fact that Purdue could be Virginia from 2019, I kind of have been thinking about that.
Yeah,
Where it's like, just I didn't I thought Purdue was, I'm a little surprised they're in the Sweet 16.
I told you guys all winter that Purdue is different because their guards are really talented. And Edie is a better player, and he get the fouls are the discourse on Edie has become a little too much now. But this is what happens, where it's like the internet finds something that everybody can pick on, and then we just start bullying about it because that's just how it goes. And
Right.
but it's I agree, it's not fun to watch, but it's what it is. But it'd also be funny if that is the team that finally breaks the Big Ten curse, and they haven't had a title since 2000, I believe it is. So
Yep.
we'll see. All right, we ran long. We'll see you solo tomorrow. I'll talk Bucks Pellies, probably talk a little more in depth on Marquette and who knows what else. And then back on Saturday for a solo pod on the Marquette game, win or lose. So we'll see you. Loaded week. Take care of yourself, and we'll be back next week with Mitch. And take care. Have a good one, guys.
Peace.